that's something that you love, something that you're passionate about. You invest with your time, your money, your resources, and everything. And something, a quote that I found that really grabbed my attention is that action expresses priority. And so a couple of examples I found in the Bible is that one would be Mary. She showed her her priorities by laying everything aside when she was supposed to be working with Martha, but yet she laid it aside and said, hey, there's Jesus is speaking. He's my priority. I'm going to make it a priority and go to his feet. She made Jesus a priority. And Enoch, it's just a lot of people don't really know who that is because he's only mentioned once in the Bible in the very, very beginning. But the one thing that Enoch was known for was walking with Jesus. That's, if I want to be known for any, I don't know about you, but if I want to be known for anything, I want to be known for walking with Jesus. Amen? So his priority in life was Jesus. He gave up everything. He just said, I don't care what life is. I don't know. We don't know his story, but I'm sure that everything he had was dedicated to God and said, God, I'm going to walk with you no matter what I go through, no matter what I face. And there's one story in particular that always grabs my heart. Is the story of the alabaster box and Mary. And so, like my friend in homiletics, she spoke of this subject and she talked about the value of the alabaster box. We all know the story where she goes and we saw that in the drama, what in April, was it April? And Mary comes up with this alabaster box full of oil and she breaks it and pours it on Jesus' feet. And to some people that may seem insignificant, but if you truly know the value, and something I read was that pretty much what she poured on Jesus' feet was a year's worth of wages. Very expensive oil. And like, honestly, I don't blame Judas for being, hey, that's a lot of money. Because like, that'd be our first thing. Like, why would you waste that? Why would you waste something that was worth so much to you? But God says she will be remembered in the word of God for doing that thing. And I find that so beautiful that she didn't really, and the one thing that I find really significant is that there was no doubt in her mind, no hesitation. Everything, something that was worth so much, she poured at Jesus' feet without hesitation. She gave everything. She invested all that she had. I'm going to read it to you just because it's so powerful. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it and they had indignation saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. All these people, and I can go on and on and on about people who completely invested themselves into their passion, which was Jesus Christ. And I think that in today, we need to recognize our passion priorities. We need to realign some things in our life. We need to take account of what's important and what's not. Because in reality, we don't have a lot of time left. Time is but a vapor. And this summer, there was a girl in Ohio. I got to go to a camp there. Long story, it was a very tiring camp. But I didn't get the chance to meet her, but there was this girl, I think she was a hyphen director. She's about 27 years old, beautiful young lady working in ministry. And not a week or two after that, we get a call, we saw on social media that she had passed away in a car accident. We don't have time. But yet, in this moment, like the scripture says, I want to know Jesus. I want everything that I do to be aligned to his purpose. I want my whole life to be invested in him because that's what I was created for. I want to have no doubt in my mind. I want to have no hesitation. Just like Mary, I want to pour myself out on Jesus. Jesus. Just like Daniel, he literally had, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it talks about, I have purposed in my heart. And he had to go against the crowd. He had to, he's like, I'm going to do a diet. I'm doing this diet because the Lord has laid it upon my heart. This whole entire thing, he literally was not conformed to this earth. He didn't care what other people were doing. He completely sold himself out and said, I have purposed in my heart that Jesus Christ and God is the most important thing in my life. No matter what I do, no matter where I go, every decision I make is going to be revolved around Jesus Christ. And I'm finishing up, but Luke chapter 13, verses 24 to 27. Strive to enter in the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin and to stand without and to knock at the door and saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then ye shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. One thing that I notice is that he doesn't say, depart from me, you sinner, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. One thing that God showed me that really shook me to my core is that you can have all your boxes checked off. You can pray every day. You can come to church every Sunday. You can live this life completely, but yet you will still miss heaven. Why is that? Depart from me, worker of iniquity. I know you not. It's because we can live this perfect, sinless life. Say, God, I've done this in your name. I've dedicated my life. God, I've sang on a platform. I went and did outreach the other night. I poured my life into you. But yet Jesus will turn you away because you don't have a relationship. Right now, we need to realign our priority and say, God, I don't care anymore. I know that my purpose lies in you. And God, I don't care about the fickle things of this world, the temporary. God, I align myself with you, Lord, because you're the only thing that's eternal. You're my only purpose. God, I realign myself with you. I dedicate my life to not just your work, but to you, God. I will not acknowledge you. I want to know you, God, for you. I don't want to do your work so much. I don't want to be so involved in your work that I forget that it's all for you. Oh, my desire is to know you, Jesus. God, I ask you, help us in this place to realign our purpose, God, and take a recollection of our life, God. To realign what's important in our lives, God. For time is but a vapor we don't have anymore. God, even if I have to suffer, even if I have to go through things, even if I have to walk through a storm, God, I will, because I want to know you. Can Can we all stand to our feet and just bask in his presence for a moment? He's searching for hearts in this place. He's searching for hearts. I don't know what you have to rededicate. I don't know what you have to do with God. I don't know if you need to come to an altar. I don't know what it is. But let's just bask in his presence for a moment and recognize how much we need God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Just lift our hands. Oh, Lord, I don't want to take this for granted anymore. Oh, I want to build a relationship with you tonight, God. Our ministry team is going to come down and pray for your needs. If you need something tonight, tonight is the night. You can't hold back anymore. If you need something healing, tonight is the night. You don't want to not have your healing or your miracle because God did, because you did not come to the altar. We need to come to the altar tonight, and you need to get your healing and your miracle tonight. Tonight is the night, so if you just come tonight and pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let's keep it going right now. We don't need to stop. We're not on a schedule right now. We're here to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right now. We're here to worship the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Oh, there's no limit to His presence. There's no limit to what He can do in this place right now. There's miracles over right now in this place. We just cry out to God right now. I worship your holy name, oh God. You are omnipotent, God. You are holy, Jesus. There is no other Lord like you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let's entertain His presence right now. Let's entertain His presence right now. If you know Him to be the way maker, if you know Him to be the one that can change in the split of a second, how much more would it take for you to give your best right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. You reign forevermore. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can we just give a round of applause unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right now with everything that you have? You know that He deserves it all. If you know who He is, why don't you just give Him a shout of victory in this place? Praise the Lord, everybody. Jesus. I just want to give honor and thanks to Jesus right now just for what He's done in this place. It's been something so sacred, so holy that we get the opportunity to come here, whether it's Sunday or, I don't know, midweeks or Wednesday, I'm guessing, Wednesdays, and lift up the name of Jesus. To know that we're not here just for a reason, just to fill in a pulpit. We're here to magnify and lift Him up. We're here to be forever changed, that when we come into a service, we don't come out the same. And it's all in our mentality. And I just thank God that He allowed me to come here this weekend and not only spend time with my friends, but yeah, just be here, be able to be here around this family, because we are family in Christ as a body. And I'm just so honored to be here. I just want to honor Pastor Grogan, Bishop, and First Lady. I just honor you guys so much. You guys have wonderful pastors. And I got also asked to share a message, and here today I didn't really, let's put it this way, I was trying to find a message. I was just trying to study, you know, the Word of God and to see where the Spirit wanted to lead me, and I just wanted a little vacation with Brooklyn and Daniel and Jordan. We had a little vacation before we go back to school, but I was just, before even going to vacation, I was just like, Lord, what do you want me to say? Because they told me, oh, you're gonna have to preach, and you're gonna have to say something. So I'm like, oh Lord, have mercy, help me. But I was just trying to seek the face of God and just where He wanted me to go. And it wasn't until yesterday night, I believe, we were driving back from Los Angeles, and I was just trying to get some rest because I could not fall asleep because people were keeping me up. I'm not gonna say names, but. But I was just, you know, just trying to put worship music on my earphones and just trying to go to bed. And Brooklyn was listening to a message from Because of the Times. I don't know how long ago it was. And it just struck me. I knew this was God because I have my music playlist shuffling. And it completely stopped after the last song. Like, I don't know what song in between. And I couldn't hear anything but the message that was coming out. And I believe it was for me. I was just contemplating my relationship with God, and
seeing how I could be a better person, seeing how I could grow in Christ and be changed and, you know, be different and just strive after God with everything I had. And I was just saying, Lord, like, how can I just draw closer to you when I'm not doing anything but myself? And I was just beginning to anger myself these past couple months, you know, contemplating things, seeing if this was the will of God or not for my life. And even when it came to going to Bible college this semester, but I really felt to share this with you all, you know, just showing that your relationship with God is so important. We don't realize it. We think it's just, I'm not saying anybody here to shame on anybody, give anybody guilt, but people just take it for a game. It's how the world we're living in. We just think that we just need to be saved, call in the name of Jesus, and we're going to heaven. It just doesn't work that way. It's a sacrifice. If you have a relationship with a boyfriend, a girlfriend, with a marriage, it takes communication. Without communication, there's always going to be a barrier. And sometimes we ask ourselves, God, why aren't you speaking to me? Why can't I feel you? But on the other side, you literally planted a wall in front of him where you're saying, son, daughter, I want to speak with you. I want to love on you. I want to talk to you. I want to love on you, but you're not doing your part. And I just felt God give me these passages of scriptures today, and I just felt the need to share this out. I felt this in the spirit before I came, before pre-service prayer, and I felt the need to share it with you. If you can open your Bibles today to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and we'll be reading from the verses 18 and 19. When you have your verse, shout amen. So in the book of Isaiah, it says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers and rivers in the desert. I feel that the Lord just wants to cast everything away out of our lives. As humans, we tend to look back on past mistakes, past failures, and say, you know what, Lord, like, I can't become that. I can't be this because look what I've done before. And a lot of times as Christians, we persecute our own selves because we feel that we're not worthy enough. The enemy strikes us in that way where we feel like, how am I supposed to be this? How am I supposed to become that type of person? How am I supposed to be who I'm called to be a reflection of Jesus Christ? And I kind of tell somebody today, it's going to change today. If you believe, if you have faith that God can change you tonight. I'm not saying tomorrow. You don't got to wait till next Sunday, the next midweek. You can do it right now in the name of Jesus. And I want to point to Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. It says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Some of us, we need to let go of letting our flesh control us, and we need to crucify it. The word says we must crucify our lives daily. Daily. This is not a thing that you do only when you come to church. It goes outside the walls of church. It goes outside the doors of church. It goes at our jobs. It goes at our schools. It goes at our homes. And a last passage of scripture would be Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Though the Lord has hurt you, though you feel like, Lord, why am I going through this? Why have you broken me? Why have you done that? Sometimes God's going to need to break you to get your attention. And some of us think that it's just problem life. Yes, reality of life is we're going to go through problems. We're going to go through persecutions. We're going to go through pain. We're going to go through tribulation. But it's the form. Sometimes God's going to have to get your attention somewhere or some forth, whether it's through something that you're distracted on, something that's just persecuting and bounding you. You got to let it go, and you got to let God. And if I could title this subject, I would title it this: though you have departed, he has not. I feel the time just to share a life story of mine and just events that occurred. And Yes, sorry, Pastor. A lot of us feel as, like I said, as Christians, we want to turn our backs from the way, from the things of God, feeling like we have to be a certain way, we have to act a certain way, we need to be the perfect church. God is not looking for the perfect church. God is looking for a willing church who's allowing his presence to just flood this place, inviting his presence in here. There's church, I'm not trying to discondemn any other churches, but there's churches that just do it for the show, just do it for entertainment, as in they just go and they leave. They leave the same. We're here to worship the King of Kings. We're here to worship the Lord of Lords. We're here to proclaim the name of Jesus. If we want to be changed, how are we going to change if we're not sacrificing ourselves? And though at times we feel like, God, I'm this way, I'm the same. How can I just free myself? How can I free myself from sin, from bondage? You got to get yourself in the Word. It's in the Word that sets you free, where God talks to you. If you feel like God doesn't talk to you through prayer, he's speaking you through the Word, through the Word of God. And as you seek after him, you will find closer by closer, he will show you pieces of what he has for you. He will unveil his purpose, his plan. And a lot of times I found myself discouraged from past mistakes, from failures, from people that have told me things that I'm not, and that listening to the voice of the enemy constantly. As young people, we go through that. Whether it's, you know, you can, from 5, 10, 80, however old you are, you're going to go through stuff. The enemy's going to attack your mind. And the biggest weapon the enemy will use is to bring up your past in front of you. He will say, look what you did the other day. Don't you remember this? And now you're here in this altar trying to be holy? And at times you start to believe the things of the enemy. You start to believe, you know what? I can't become that because that, look what I did. Look what I've fallen. The word says we all fall short of the glory of God. Nobody's perfect in here. Nobody's perfect in here. But we have such a gracious and merciful God that forgives us daily. When you just take a glimpse of how merciful God is, you would just begin to just cry and just to break down. It's broken me at times where I'm just in my car driving and I'm reminded of God's mercy, of his grace, of his compassion for me. Just to see the rising sun breath in my lungs means he loves me still. To be able to go to sleep peacefully, to know I have a roof under my head means that God still loves me. He's still there for me, never forsaking me. But some of us, we just think that we just should give up. We should just let everything go and let the enemy have his way within us. But we have power in our mouths. We have power and liberty in the name of Jesus. We are Christians. We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers through Christ. And I just want to tell somebody today that you don't need to look back at your past. You don't need to look back at the old things. Behold, you are new in Christ. When you went down in those waters, you took the identity of Jesus. You took the identity of, God, I'm going to walk in your word. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to take up my cross and follow you. And I couldn't tell somebody today that at the feet of Jesus, you can find forgiveness. You don't need to impress anybody. You need to impress that girl, that guy, that person to get that job. You don't need to come up to people and get their acceptance. When you have the acceptance of the King, you have the acceptance of the King from heaven because he loves you. He put his name over you. He put his mercy over you. Jesus. And just looking back at times, I found a moment I was driving back from the Bay Area, and I FaceTimed Brooklyn and Jordan, even though that's bad. I'm sorry, I FaceTimed and drived. We just started talking about life. I mean, one thing, be surrounded with Christ-like people. Be surrounded with people that are going to elevate you, not bring you down. And God has blessed me with these wonderful friends of mine, and I'm so grateful for them, for their ministries, for their lives in me, and how God has used them, and just seeing how God works through them. And we just had a time where we just started talking about God. We said, you know, what is one thing that you want God to do before this year ends? And we just started sharing our personal life stories, you know, where God has brought us from, and, you know, and it came to me, and I felt scared what to say because I didn't know how they were going to react to me, or, you know, seeing my life and how it's portrayed. And, you know, at times you just feel like God, maybe I should just leave. I should leave the church. I should leave my ministry, my calling, because there's nothing. There's nothing in me. That's where we start to believe lies of the enemy. And that's times I've been, you know, alone and lonely, just feeling like God wasn't there for me. God didn't love me anymore. God didn't want to use me, even though he's given me so much grace. He's given me so much favor. But yet, I would always deal with, you know, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm dealing with the same old thing in a circle. It's just a cycle. How am I going to break this? And God told me it's through prayer. It's through seeking me. And that's something I dealt with. I wasn't seeking God with everything I had. I was just going to church just to go to church. And it wasn't through events in my life personally in high school where God is super personal things that where I found Jesus, where I found it, and I took it seriously. I took my walk seriously. I took my word, and I started to read, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord come upon me. And in that car ride home, I just felt the Spirit just overwhelm me. I got out, and we just started praying together over FaceTime. We just felt the Spirit of God come over us, and we just felt this. If God can come in your car over the phone, how much can he come here right now? And I'm just so thankful that God has been so merciful to me where I don't even deserve to be here right now. But he's been so gracious. He's used me. He's going to use every single person even here. Even though you think you left him, he has not left you. He's never going to leave you. He would not be a man to lie to you. If you need a friend, I got a friend for you, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and he's the one that died on the cross for you. He's the one that went on that cross and took your shame. He took your sin. He took your bondage, and he made you whole again. Oh, I wonder if somebody could just lift up the name of Jesus right now and thank him for going on Calvary. Thank him for every whip he took, every whip where he didn't say anything, but he took it, and he didn't have to. He didn't have to, but he went willingly because he knew that was the will of the Father. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you need to trust in his word, you need to trust in it and get in him and seek him every day. He's going to show you their ways. Even though you don't see it, you got to believe it. You got to know that he's able, that he's going to restore you, that he's going to change you. I don't know if there's anybody here today dealing with problems, dealing with bondage, addiction. I'm telling you, God can change it right now in this place, right now, in the name of Jesus. If you would believe it, if you would see that God's making a way in the waters when there isn't no way. It doesn't matter what people say about you. It's what God says about you. It doesn't matter what your past says. It matters where your future is going, where you're going in Christ, because he wants the best for you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to lift you for the kingdom. He wants to use you in ministry. He wants you to win souls for his name, for the kingdom of God. I don't know if there's anybody today that wants to be changed, that wants to be renewed by the pure power of the Holy Ghost right now. Oh, would you seek him desperately? Would you just call upon his name? Can we just get real with God for one moment? Can we just be honest with Jesus right now? We're all messed up. We're all messed up, but by the grace of God, we've been forgiven. We've been loved. We've been sanctified by his name and his blood. Oh, can we just stand up right now and exalt his name? Exalt him right now. Exalt him. How many know that he's able? How many know that you just want to love on him? In desperate time of need, he was the comforter of you. He wrapped you in his arms. He said, "A child, I'm here. I have never left thee, even though you've turned your back away from me." When I think of so many times I turned my back away from God, every single time he's there for me. He's there because he loves me so much. Just thinking of how much he loves me, that's more than enough for me. That's more than enough.
God is more than enough for you. Materialistic things are not going to do it for you. I'm sorry. Your money is not going to do it for you. Your finances are not going to do it for you. Your fame is not going to do it for you. But I'm telling you, it's the one. He's the one that paid it all for me. He's the one that wants to see you victorious. He's the one that wants to see you win kingdom with souls. I don't know if there's anybody today that just wants to say, God, I want to be changed right now. I don't want to live the same way. I don't want to go the same route. I don't want to go back anymore. I'm tired. I don't know if anybody's exhausted here spiritually, but I'm saying the Waymaker's here to make you new. He's here to restore you. He's here to restore everything that the devil stole from you. Everything that the devil took away from you, God is bringing it back. He's bringing it even better. He's bringing more to you than you expected. I'm going to wait on you, Jesus. I'm going to wait on you, oh God. Though I am broken, I will seek thee. Though I have failed, you say I'm your own. Oh, yes, that's it. Come on, we can take it deeper. Let's get intimate with God right now. Let's get intimate. Let's seek that face. Let's get in the spirit right now. Let's crucify this flesh and take every distraction away right now. Let's get in the spirit and seek his face and say, God, I'm going to come in here, but I'm not going to come in the same. I'm not going to go out in this world the same. In my house, I'm going to be changed. In my house, I'm going to change. In my house, I'm going to be an example for my family, for my parents, for my brothers and sisters. In my job, I'm going to be different. People are going to look at me and say, there's something different about you. You got something different about you. That's the spirit of the Lord. That's the spirit of God saying he wants to renew you, saying that you are his. You are a child of the living God. If you want God to change you, I invite you to this altar right now. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I feel God wanting to change things right now. This message is for somebody. It might not be for everybody, but it's for somebody. Oh, you might have left, but the Savior has not departed from you. Though you have gone away, you can come back into the loving arms of a Father. You can come back in the arms of the one true King that created you. That he knows what you're going through. He knows exactly how you feel right now, what you're dealing with that nobody else knows about.
If everybody can come up to the front, whoever is willing, I'm not going to say a lot. Alex, you can keep playing. Whoever's willing, if this is all that wants to come up to the front, that's okay. That was amazing, Matthew. Thank you so much. I want people to bind together whoever's next to you. Talked about crucifying our flesh, getting to know God. And I felt very heavy on my heart to pray for Tulare. been 3 shootings in 1 week that time. And God is coming back so soon. So I want us to begin to pray for Tulare. Back in the day when the walls of Jericho, they began to walk around the walls of Jericho. And on the 7th day, it says the walls fell flat and they began to overtake Jericho. Right now, our prayers are going to bring down the chains of Tulare, the walls of Tulare. Right now, I ask you to go to war for Tulare. This world needs your prayers. This world needs your prayers. Begin to pray for the city of Tulare right now. Right now. Right now, we bring down the walls, the bondages, the chains. Come on, keep praying. Come on, intercessors. You don't know what your prayers can do. Come on, prayer warriors. It may be your prayer that saves someone's life. Oh, God. I hear the walls falling down. The walls falling down right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, keep praying. We can pray a little bit longer. This world needs us. They may be the only light that you'll ever see. They need your prayers. They need your prayers. Who's gonna have compassion for the lost? For the girl who cuts her wrist but hides it. For the young man who wants to take his life, who's gonna pray? Who's gonna pray? This world needs you. Come on, church, just keep praying for a little longer. Your prayers, the family that's falling apart. I want to say one more thing before, and we can keep praying right after. One more thing. I've told this story before, but there is a man when we drove into Stockton, not we, but I drove into Stockton one time, went to 7-Eleven just to get some stuff or whatever, and I seen him sitting there, a homeless man, and he looked so different, looked so nice. And I went up to him. I usually don't because I get afraid. You never know. And I asked, what do you need? And he was like, oh, I just want some food and something to drink. I took him in, bought whatever he wanted. And then we walk outside. He was like, are you Christian or something? And I was like, yeah, I go to Christian Life Center. It was my last week of my first semester. And he was like, I can tell. He's like, you know what? I'm tired of churches taking me in and I don't come out the same. That's what he told me. I was like, wow. And I was like, can I get your name? And he said, what's your name? And I said, Daniel. And I was like, can I get your name? He's like, you have a great day. And he walked off. And I was like, I have to go find him. So I drove around and he was nowhere to be found. And I believe that was an angel sent from God to tell every single one of us that people don't just want to come in and leave the same, but they're coming in looking for a change. They're looking for something more than just the high, more than just getting drunk. They want something, and we as Abundant Life Center of Tulare, I felt this burden so heavy when I was crying in a coffee shop. I felt it so heavy. We have this whole 70,000 people of Tulare. Look at how many are in here. I don't even know. But we have so many more that need this. Because when you get them, you know what you're doing? You're getting them off the road of destruction from going to hell. That's joy and enough. So I want everybody to feel compassion for the people. When you see that homeless person, you never know what your words or what your actions can do for them. You can change the whole course of their life. So I want us again to pray one more time before we leave that God will give us the compassion for people. Right now, everybody lift your hands in the name of Jesus, God. Give us compassion for the lost, oh God. This world needs you, God. This dying world needs you more than ever before, God. They're headed on the way to the fire and flames of hell, God. Where are the laborers, God? Where are the laborers to reap the harvest?
Oh. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voices. Lift your voice to the Lord. God, I love you. Oh, I worship you today, God. I worship you today, God. I worship you today, God. Hallelujah. I feel the wooing of the presence of God. I want every young man and young woman that is going back to school and college to stand up in front of this altar here. All those are going back to school, and I need you to come close and then turn around. So come close to me. Come as close as you can and turn around. Amen. All those that are going back to school, I need you to come close. And I need the body. If we could stand to our feet. And if we can come down here and we can lay our hands on these kids, and that we can pray over our babies, we can pray that God would keep them, that we'd plead the blood over them, that God would keep them safe, that a hedge of protection be round about them, that God would lead them and guide them and direct them. Come on, would you lay your hands on them right now? Would you begin to pray for them? Those, just stretch a hand towards them right now. And let's pray that God would touch them. Hallelujah. Come on, get in here. We're going to pray for every kid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got some kids right here, Brother Ruben. Kids right here. Come on, we're going to pray for all of them. And I plead your blood. I plead your blood, God. I pray, God, you'd talk to them. Pray, God, that you'd cover them. Pray, God, that angels would encamp round about. Adam. Those angels, God, that were with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those angels, God, that were with Daniel in the lion's den. Oh, God, we're sending these kids into a world that so desperately needs you. I plead your blood on their mind. I plead your blood on their hearts. Oh, God, use them, I pray. Come on, that's it. Speak some words over them. Speak some words of faith. Help them, God. Help them, God. Direct them, God. Cover them, God. Touch our babies, God. Touch our babies, God. Oh, we plead your blood. Come on, that's it, church. Come on, we're breaking down walls right now. Help them, God. Help them, God. Power them, I pray. Move upon them, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I'm standing in front of a bunch of world changers. I'm standing in front of a bunch of soul winners, a bunch of prayer warriors, a bunch of men and women that are going to let their light shine. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come on, this is revival right now. This is revival right now. They are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. Come on, bless this future generation. Bless the generations to come. By the power and the authority that is in the name of Jesus. Touch our babies, God. Touch our babies, God. Bless our babies, God. Bless our kids, I pray. Shataya korayanda yasiya korasa. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel a deep move of the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel an undercurrent of the presence of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Jesus, today. Touch their minds. Touch their eyes. Touch their hearts, God. Touch their ears, God. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, plead your blood on them, God. Plead your blood on them, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, a deep move.